XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, right? It's Thursday, yeah. Very good Thursday, race fans. Tina, actually, last night she said, is today Thursday? I said, no, it's Wednesday. She's got a haircut. She's got hair today. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports on 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at the website, stevebick.com. First order of business, follow-up from yesterday, and if you've been on the Twitter, as it were, I put up a lot of links, handful of links. In fact, let me go there now. I put up the link to John Parada's website for Thoroughbred Investors Bible and everything else under John's name, all his writing available there, all right? And then instead of individually laying out the books and bookstore options for you for ordering Lenny Shulman, Jamie Nicholson, etc., Jennifer Kelly, and so much more, it occurred to me that pretty much everybody we came up and talked about yesterday for last-minute gift ideas is at the Kentucky Press, at University of Kentucky Press, which is just... You know, thank goodness the former guy in Frankfurt was dispatched because he was ready to gut it and destroy the University Press of Kentucky. It is a pretty remarkable resource, and they greenlight just a huge catalog of topics, and obviously, you know, the horse racing side of things is very strong, and all of Jamie Nicholson's books are there, head to head from Lenny. And I came across something that Lenny hasn't even mentioned to me, and I checked with him this morning. He and Paul Volpone, yes, that Volpone, he and Paul have written a Phyllis George, former First Lady of Kentucky, a Phyllis George biography that's coming out next year. They don't even have the cover art. You can pre-order. What did Lenny say? Did he say June? As late as June? What did he tell me? Next summer. Not out till next summer. They don't even have a cover for it. But it jumped up at me, and I saw Phyllis George, Len Shulman, and Paul Volpone. So I'm sure we'll be talking to Lenny about it. Obviously, in Kentucky, everybody knew Phyllis George, Governor Brown's wife. But, you know, those of us that grew up in other parts of the country, we only got to know her, you know, through the NFL Today. Right, with Brent Musburger and Irv Cross and Jimmy the Greek. So you can look forward, those of you that are, you know, love biographies. I'm a big biography type. I also included Tom Leach's book about Kentucky basketball, but there's just go through the link that I put up. has at least, I mean, I think I did 100. I think there's a little less than 100 sports titles, including some other books that we've talked about inadvertently over the course of the year. And that includes that book about Marion Miley's murder, which is a story that is no one seems to know much about. And Beverly Bell's book, The Murder of Marion Miley. You know, she was a pro golfer at a Babe Zaharias level, Louis Suggs level, first as an amateur and then as a pro, and was murdered in the Lexington Country Club at a botched robbery. It's a story that is when I came across it, I was shocked that I had never heard it. But you can get that as well. There's also a book that I had no idea either. Another one from University Press, Alan Shubak, who for years the international correspondent at DRF, Alan Shubak has got a book, Hollywood at the Races: Film's Love Affair with the Turf. And I'm shocked that Alan, somehow I had not come across this, and it's from 2019. Actually, late. It was late in 2019, so I'm really surprised. I have to reach out to Alan. I haven't talked to him in forever. Not since he wrote a wonderful guide to international race courses. If you've never, I'm just looking behind me. It's got to be on the other. It's on the shelf inside that Tina. Yeah. Well, yeah, the shelf that Tina moved. So I can't reach behind me and grab Alan's book, but Alan's got a book that is essentially a travelogue of race courses internationally, and very useful. So I'm happy to promote Alan's Hollywood at the Races. And on the Hollywood front, actually, if you are a film buff, University Press has a mammoth, they green light a ton of film, whether it's bios of directors, producers, actors and actresses. I guess we don't call them actresses anymore, actors. They've got a huge catalog. So they've also got a sale. Some titles are 50 to 75% off. Everything's 20% off. And there's free shipping. Use Frosty as your code word. So again, there is just no better. It's one of the great gifts. Books, you can never go wrong. And one of the other fun things about a book that you can personalize, you know, you can sign it and send a greeting inside to somebody. So there's still plenty of time. Believe it or not, I mean, even though it's December 16th, you got to the end of next week, so swing into action. You got 8 days essentially. All right, last minute desperation gift giving, and then I also put up the link to Greg Montgomery's website because, as I mentioned yesterday with Seth, Greg's artwork is just so wonderful, and we've got it all over the house. I've got for too long, every year, bought a Montgomery Travers print and framed them up, and they're all over the place. I've given them as gifts, not just Christmas, birthday gifts. And one thing that's fun with Greg's art, you go to Saratoga with the poster, and pick out whatever's your favorite. The one I put up happens to be a personal favorite, which is 2008, which is Street Sense and not Street Sense, Unshaded and Unshaded and Grasshopper. You can then have whoever it is. I actually have that poster. Ian Wilkes and Carl Nafsker both autographed it. I've got the fabulous, the Birdstone is one of my absolute favorites that I got Nick to autograph. Affirmed Success, I got Jimmy Jerkins to autograph. That we used to, when we were doing Loose on the Lead, not just Loose on the Lead with Capital OTB, Mick, you know, who helps with the production, for a few summers, he would take the Montgomery poster and get it flattened out and then have all the different guests, all the trainer, owner, jockey, you name it, guests on Capital OTB, have them sign it. And with dozens and dozens. My good friend, Donnie Tessitore, I've got a poster for his grandson. And I brought it to the jocks room and got a bunch of autographs on it. So greg-montgomery.myshopify.com is his shop, or if you just do Greg Montgomery Art, you'll find it on with a search, and you can pick out any of his posters, and he's got a 10% deal too. So swing into action. You're running out of racetrack on this topic, but I did want to follow up from yesterday as promised, and then I had to run down to Troy after the show, so I didn't get a chance to do it. And we'll look forward to and just see and Pete just he agreed. Pete Fornatel just agreed and retweeted the Greg Montgomery concept. All right, today we are finally going to get to Art Sherman. I finally connected with Art yesterday, late afternoon. So we'll talk to Art at the top of hour three. I'm looking forward to it, and we're just gonna tell Art how wonderful he is, and you know what a tremendous life in the game that he enjoyed. Tony Black, we'll get the year end visit with Tony. We've got the This Is Horse Racing team, and they apparently are all together today, the Clancys and Tom Law. So I haven't. Case, I don't know how, I haven't figured this out yet, how we're going to, we'll probably have, I don't know, maybe we'll have all three on, just on speaker, I don't know. But they're apparently together, because I reached out to Tom yesterday, and I said, you know, year-end and season-ending conversation. And Tony Black, we got to slip in with Tony. We've got some, at least a little handicapping I want to do actually early, because we're going to get busy later, obviously, the last 2 hours. But in this first hour, I want to carve out some time to look at Remington tomorrow night. And it's Springboard Mile, which, you know, every year, it's funny, we kind of celebrate this card and this race and think the world of what goes on at Remington. I've made a point, you know, going back to the time I've got to visit, and we did the show for a few days leading up to the Oklahoma Classics. And one of the things that is cool about Remington is that they do integrate the, you know, much like we talked at Oaklawn, Remington it is not embarrassed in the casino to let people know that there's racing going on. They in fact, they've got a very cool balcony section that overlooks the racetrack that you know goes for a good length of the casino floor, and you can go out and watch watch the races as they go. This Springboard Mile tomorrow is really good. And I reached out in a couple directions, so hopefully we'll get a visit in. If we have to do it tomorrow, we will. But it's just, you know, it's nice to get out 24 ahead, you know, 24 hours, so that on the replay, you know, it's not after the fact. Card tomorrow, 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central. And the stakes portion, which does include a pair of Oklahoma bred, the You See It and the Jim Thorpe, go as the 8th and the 9th. And that's at 8:23 Central, 8:54. And then the open company action, She's All In for the Phillies and Mares, mile and 70, goes as the 10th. So 10:25 Eastern, 9:25 Central. And then the Philly stake, the trapeze, nice field of 12 for that. And then the $400,000 springboard mile. And this is a group, you know, for any number of years we've sort of tried to anticipate that, you know, the horses that target this as two-year-olds late in the year, you know, that they move on and you know, make an impact on the sophomore scene. This group is not far off the, you know, the upper echelon of the two-year-olds. And you know, starting on the outside, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, Osborne, the Tapiture gelding, Ferran Moquette, coming off that Churchill maiden winner out of the Rock Hard 10 mare. You know, speaking of which, I don't think we mentioned seeing Rock Hard 10's name. I don't think we mentioned at any point that word had come that he had passed. You know, we had that really, I really enjoyed, hope you did. Hope you enjoyed Daryl Vienna on Tuesday. But I want to pull this up for a second. It happened about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Jeju Stud Farm in South Korea, and he had died November 12th, and it got reported November 17th. But I just seeing his name, it occurred to me that I had not mentioned his passing. When he won, I can recall when he was going into the Malibu. I think I had just about started. I think I had just started Derby Trail, actually. It right? 2000, what? 2002 or 3? I think I had just started. I'd really started, you know, handicapping and doing write-ups. And I just remember that, you know, the fact that the Malibu was the last, you know, the last grade one opportunity for restricted company, and that this was a huge opportunity, essentially, for him to, you know, get in a grade one win. You know, he had placed in everything, third in the Santa Anita Derby. It was actually 2004. So it was really the second full year that I had done Derby Trail, and it was still on Yahoo at that point, though. It was just a Yahoo club, and I just remember Rock Hard 10 kind of, you know, just, you know, that it was an important spot for him. The horse that I liked, though, that, well, thinking about now that I'm thinking about 2004, the horse that I bet, and I think I picked, I wish I could find that. I think all of those old Yahoo Club things are gone. I don't think it maybe Sid might be able to help me. He's good at the deep net. was Harvard Avenue. Do you remember Harvard Avenue? Doug O'Neill? Harvard Avenue. It was my play in there, and he was, I think, third at a nice price. But I remember, I think I came away empty with that one. But anyway, Rock Hard 10, who, you know, he still see his name in pedigrees, and in fact, here he is. Planet Rock, the dam. Planet Rock. She was a one-time winner. Six board hits. Osborne for Moquette. And this is actually, I'm a little surprised. 6-1. 6-1. Huh. Julian Leperoux has been aboard. 6-1 morning line on Osborne. So, All right. Some of the other highlights in here, Concept. Steve Asmussen, who, you know, always assaults this race. He's always got, you know, a serious player or three for this. And, you know, in fact, now I'm curious how many recent, let's see, to give you an idea. Shoplifted won this long range. Toddy won it for Asmussen. Bayard won it in 2014. You go back a little bit, and Test Boy and Smooth Bid. How about that? And Chocolate Man, going back to the early aughts. So I wouldn't say he's dominated. Todd Fincher came in with Senior Buscador a couple of years ago. Or last year. I take that back. Last year. For Mr. Peacock, of course. Wow, there's some names in here that you really kind of forgot. Gravitos. Remember Gravitos? Adam Kitchingman? How about that? Cool Arrow? 5 years ago? Discreetness. Holy cow. Jinx Fires. And John Court. Good old Texas Bling. Danelle Durham. Right? So you look at this. I guess the biggest name probably. Who's the biggest horse to come out of this? Going Ballistic, Donnie Kay, with Cliff Berry, Golden Yank. Remember Golden Yank was a nice horse for Gary Thomas. Miguel Mena won for Joe Petalino, Kick On in 2008. Anyway, this feels like the best field that they've had in recent vintage. You got the Kip DeVille winner on the rail, Concept, with Carlos Montalvo for Steve Asmussen. This is a Winchell and Tony Holmes homebred Gunrunner colt. Actually broke his maiden in the Kip DeVille. And then did not run well in the Clever Trevor. He's got a rebound from that. He's 5-1. From a figure standpoint, that 91 buyer, which, you know, stands out here. And then Make It Big, Sappy Joseph, who is back on a roll after having had a bad summer, is back winning races by the handful. This is a Neolithic colt, first crop. And you know, it's the first time I've noticed this. Pedigree players, Neolithic is winning at a 21% clip right now. He's got 14 horses out there that have made 39 starts. He's got 8 wins, including this stake winner that won the juvenile sprint, the restricted Florida stake in October at Gulfstream, going 7/8. This is interesting. Neolithic, how about this with those 14 horses? 5 first out winners. 36% first out winners for Neolithic. It's very, first time I've noticed this. Hasn't had a lot of horses go two turns yet. He's only had 7. He's 0-for-7. This is this is why Thoroughgraph is just, you know, at a glance, so invaluable. Looking at the Thoroughgraph sire statistics. Mile and over, 5 of the 14 have tried two turns or mile and over. That obviously, you know, Churchill could be, and Gulfstream could be one turn. But 0-for-7, 8-for-32, less than a mile. So far, Neolithic, and it's early, and that's a small sample size, but those are some garish numbers. 7-for-26 on dirt, 0-for-4 so far on synthetic. 1-for-5 on turf. I keep an eye out for the Neolithics. Who knew? Two very solid performances. Now's got to go two turns. Jose Ortiz takes over here. Edgar Zayas had ridden Make It Big. This is a Red Oak stable OBS purchase from last April. The OBS March catalog, by the way, went online. I saw that, thumbing through that the other day. The winter mixed, not the March sale. I was booking travel to the March sale. this was $120,000 purchase of a Neolithic. So this is obviously a horse that there was some expectation for, because I don't have the number in front of me. What the average purchase price was, but I'm gonna tell you that he stands at Pleasant Acres. In fact, I just heard from, speaking of Pleasant Acres, who I know sponsors Chuck on Going in Circles, and $5,000 fee for 2022, and the other stake winner that he's got is Katin, the horse we mentioned the other day, of Ralph Nix, that won the inaugural 2 weeks ago at Tampa. So Make It Big is one of his two stake winners. This is how you ferret out winners, right? You're getting a 7-2 morning line, which is a little low, frankly, for Make It Big. Bye bye, Bobby. Todd Fincher comes back for more. can't blame him, right? Bye bye, Bobby was a first out winner for Fincher. This is a quality road colt. That was a huge purchase. I remember this now. This was that $800,000 quality road. B4 Farms. Was a very nice first out winner. $870,000 Keeneland Yearling. Broke the maiden at Zia. 4-1. Shemayan. Rosa Ramirez. By the way, Rome, Carinas rides Bye-bye, Bobby. Shemayim is going to be a big price in here. 20-1. Brooke the Maiden at Remington going a mile. He's got that going for him. He's a Lee out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. Susan Moulton bred this one. Classic Moment, 5-1. LNN Racing and Winchell. A Team Valor bred Classic Empire, $350,000 Keeneland Yearling for Asmussen. First Lasix, stretching out from the 6.5 furlong maiden win with Corrales. Stewie Elliott gets aboard Classic Moment, who's 4-1. Rowdy Rascal, a Den's Legacy for Boyd Caster. This is an Oklahoma bred, of course. When you hear that, when you hear all those names, is on a nice roll. Three straight. Won the Don McNeil. From a figure standpoint, just a cut below. Rowdy Rascal, 12-1. Rich Strike for Eric Reed. Always happy to see Eric. This is a horse that they claimed. Richard Dawson claimed for $30,000 off of Joe Sharp. When the Keen Ice Colt broke his maiden by 17 lengths. This was a Calumet homebred, started on the grass at Ellis, and then came over to the dirt, and then came back, and Reed ran him back at Keeneland in October in a good allowance in that race that produced Sport Pepper. Was only beaten 3 lengths. 8-1. Interesting. Rich Strike. And that gets us to Revenir, who is also local for Danny Pish. A hard-spun gelding, $50,000 purchase out of a Tappet mare. 12-1. And this is a horse that's going in the right direction, Revenir. Interesting. Second in the Clever Trevor to El Pando at a big price off of the maiden win. Now goes back to the mile. Broke the maiden at a mile. Revenir. And Danny Sorensen is going to ride. And we already told you about Julian Leperoux and Ron Moquet. So there's your field for the $400,000 springboard mile. And it's a good one. It's a good one. I like this field, and haven't done any work on the trapeze. In fact, you know what? Maybe we'll get a chance. Maybe can't do it today. But I asked John Mucciolo, who has got a nice write up at Twin Spires, and that's one of the things that kind of motivated me. I printed out the PPs, but I thought to myself, we really should do it today as opposed to waiting till tomorrow. So there you go. At least you got a rundown on the springboard, and maybe we'll get a pick or two in with everybody tomorrow. We got James back tomorrow, James Scully, and we'll get Scott Shapiro to do some Oaklawn. I told you how good that Oaklawn cards look for the weekend. And I'm just glancing at the filly race. Steve Asmussen has got a pair in here. Not favored, though. Your favorite in the girls' race, Brad Cox, has got a horse he just took over, a Golden Sense filly that Rudy Brissett had. Golden Sights is your actually that's the second choice. McPeak shows up with Park on the Nile, who we did talk about with Kenny, right? Yeah, first out winner at Churchill on the Stars of Tomorrow card. This is one of those Cairo Prince babies that we were intrigued by. Field of 12, they got a nice big bulky group. going in the trapeze. A nice mix of invaders and locals. See if I can give you. A hint in here. I'm looking at the pace. Pace looks solid enough. This, of course, is also a mile. And there's a lot of. It looks like McPeak is probably the one that wants to go. Leperu jumps aboard. Corey Lannery was on for the maiden win. And Leperu, who's certainly known more for off the pace than up on the front end. However, he's very good on the front end. You know, the horse on the outside of Asmussen's with Jose Ortiz, Irad, actually had won with Optionality. This is a Winchell homebred gunrunner and the Pulpit Mare Simplify. And Irad had ridden Optionality in the Zia Princess in November, Thanksgiving week, when they have that big card. And Jose takes over, stretches out from six, and this is your other, you would think, this is where your other speed is going to come from. Who else stretches out? Diamond and Aces, right next door, stretches out from sprints as well, just off the maiden win, Diamonds and Aces. This is a tale of a Cotty filly from Michael Whitelaw. So it looks like both horses on the outside are going to be, you know, the turn comes up quickly. And so they'll be hustling on the outside and park on the Nile from midfield. There's your speed. So we'll see how they, we'll see if they prompt from there. This is the trapeze. And looks like Brad Cox is going to be tough in here. Morning Twilight, the other Asmussen. Park on the Nile. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's anything super shocking. If you're looking, I'll tell you what. Here's a horse that you might, and again, I'm doing this on the fly a little bit because I wanted you to be aware. 15-1. Here's a ground saver. Here you go. Brody Baby, Ray Ashford, who wins with Goncalves. This is a Brody's Cause out of an English Channel mare named Ederly. Gertrude. Go ahead, scurry to the search bar for Gertrude Ederly. Brody Baby coming off the maiden win at a mile, and this filly took a nice step forward in that win. She's your value, Brody Baby. This is me. This is my kind of horse. She's going to save ground. I don't know if she can beat the Invaders, but she's locally based, and me likey. This is Brody Baby. All right, the two for me tomorrow as a price key. She should get a really cozy trip behind those speeds. Kind of a stalk and go concept. 15-1. All right. And for the filly and mare group and the She's All In, seems like, Phil Sims shows up with My Bets coming out of a near miss at Churchill. Well, it's pretty hard not to note in here that Mr. Zellner and Donnie Kay, I'm glad I looked at this, Donnie Kay Von Hemel and Robert Zellner They've got She's All Wolf, the four-year-old daughter of the namesake, the wonderful She's All In. How great is that? That the daughter of the terrific mayor, She's All In, has got a chance to win her mom's race. I love this. And she's five. She's never been off the board at Remington. She's 5 for 8. She's All Wolf. Richard Aramia Jr. and Donnie Kay. And, you know, after that brutal stretch that Donnie Kay had, I mentioned it in passing. It was too crazy to believe. He's back and things are, you know, back to normal. But Donnie had a tough stretch, and is back in the win column. Well, that's my route. She's All Wolf. Casual in here, and Casual has been searching for a stake win for the Hill and Dale team while sprinting, and they're going to try her around two turns here. This, of course, is the Lady Tack daughter. She's amassing all kinds of placements, but she just has been snake bit when it comes to, for whatever reason. She's kind of a closing sprinter, and Steve's going to try something fresh with her here. She hasn't been two turns in a while. In fact, since last year's running of this, where she was fourth, beating the length and change. This is a nice group. Marion Francis in here for Brad Cox as well. Coming out of an allowance win at Keeneland. So a very good sequence at Remington tomorrow night. There's a late pick four, which includes the She's All In, the trapeze, the springboard, and then a Oklahoma bred allowance, which is the nightcap, the 13th race. There's looking to see if they used an all-stake pick five. They did not. The pick five is the first five races at Remington. So they've got a fat guarantee, too. They got a nice $200,000 guarantee for the late pick four, closing pick four, and lots of nice rolling pick threes with stakes. So a really good slate at Remington, one of our favorite places. And, you know, Scott Wells, who I guess Scott did not come to, I had asked him if he was going to come to Arizona because he's retiring after a tremendous career in racetrack management. Scott Wells, widely respected, and of course, who also went down to Uruguay and helped the Uruguayan thoroughbred interests rebuild Morones, and to great acclaim. So, I really did want to get kind of a goodbye, you know, visit in. An exit interview with Scott Wells, as it were. So we'll see. I'll reach out. Since I just looked down and I see where our friend Leslie Knopf, who dutifully maintained a long friendship with Johnny Rotz, and Leslie asked for some acknowledgement that today would have been the 87th birthday of the great gentleman John Rotz. So thoughts in that direction. All right, a couple of things before we get to the top of the hour, and that includes yesterday I mentioned pick five. Did you see we've got a carryover to attack? In fact, Gus is going to attack it. Haven't put it up at the website yet, but I will. You had yesterday at Turfway, you had a series of prices right off the bat. You had a couple of $30 horses in the first and second race at Turfway, and that helped produce ultimately a 30, was it 35,000, I think? 34, 35,000? Let's see. 33,000, essentially. 32,685 carryover today. Races 1 through 5 at Turfway. All right? And Gus looked at it. I'm looking at Aqueduct today. I thought that was a decent sequence late. So Gus has got action for you tonight, which starts... let me take a look. Yesterday was the... I better check on this, because yesterday was a... let's see, what time? 6:15? Yeah, 6:15. Is that right? Did I have that? What's today? I'm losing track. Turfway. Yeah, 6:15. Yeah, the sequence was from Sunday, the carryover, not yesterday. From Sunday. This should draw. I would think that this draws a pretty nice pool, actually. The field size continues to be just spectacular at Turfway. Today, here, to give you an idea tonight, 8 in the first with an entry, 8 by 10 by 10 by 10 by 11. Yeah. And in terms of what the races are, you got a maiden 15 starts it off, fillies and mares going long on the all weather. Then nickel claimers, non-winners of three lifetime, where it looks like you've got a very heavy Jose D'Angelo's got a what looks like a might be a lean in Franco's team, 8-5. From a fig standpoint, seems to have an edge. Ravelli's horse okay in there, though. More than... More than Soul Title. 3-1, second choice. Then another sprint. 9 winners of 3 for 15. And 8 claimer, straight 8 claimer, going a mile is the fourth leg. And then a 2-year-old filly maiden special, 62,000, going a mile and a 16th as the fifth. So this looks like a challenging sequence. Gus has got it covered, though. He's already posted at Derby Trail, so I'll move it over. You've got 1, 2, 3 first-time starters and 8 that have already run. And looks like Jonathan Thomas, Katish, 3-1, second choice. McPeak, Legarity, 5-2. And you better look over those firsters. Brendan Walsh has got one, Sign of Peace, 8-1. McPeak also with a firster, Holiday Princess with Alex Ashard. And Paulo Lobo, who I know saw win one the other day at Turfway, got his first win of the meet. So, pick 5 carryover later this evening at Turfway. Gulfstream yesterday, notable that Todd brought back the Liam's Map Colt, the Joe Miner. Homebred, Red Lane Thoroughbreds partnered in on Liam. Away since the Oklahoma Derby, speaking of Remington, hadn't been seen since September, and makes the 4-year-old debut in here. And, you know, actually paid $420, which kind of was a value, to be honest. One by four and 88 buyer, I looked up earlier, which actually was the figure he ran when third behind Shared Sense in that Oklahoma Derby. last year. So Liam, we'll see what goes on next with that one for Todd. And speaking of Gulfstream, congratulations to Eduardo Nunez, the longtime jock, three-decade-plus career in the irons. He got his first training win yesterday in the opener, if you were watching. That was nice. It was very cool. He's 55, and he just has three horses right now at Gulfstream. That was his 16th starter, a horse by the name of Pacific Legend. That's nice. Congratulations to Eduardo. All right. I can that. And let's quickly touch on, before the top of the hour, let's touch on the Gulfstream slate. We'll talk to Mike Welch tomorrow. If you hadn't had a chance. And they were very late getting that card up last night. And it's funny because it didn't look like they necessarily had trouble filling races, but I don't know if they had to do some redraw or what kept the overnight from coming out. But I stopped looking at it at about, I don't know, six. I think I finally said, well, we're not going to. We're not getting an overnight anytime soon. The Suwannee River, which happens to be this has always been a favorite of mine, and I have to, before Adam Colonies took over, oh, that's another, I'm glad I said Adam's name, I'm glad this came across my, I'm going to put up that link, too, for folks that I mentioned yesterday as a gift idea. You can order historic photos, and this is true really of any, Bill Denver, the horse photos team, Cody, Benoit, Colonies, any of the racetrack photographers would love to hear from you if there's a race that, you know somebody that would love whatever picture, whatever. They'll help you, and you got just enough time to get a photo sent out to you. But the Suwannee, before Adam took over at Gulfstream, Mrs. Weber won a Suwannee, and my mother came with me to the racetrack, and I've got to get this photograph because. And I'm gonna have to look it up now that I'm thinking about it. I can tell you exactly what it was. But my mother came, and Mrs. Weber won, and we watched the race together. And then she invited, she and Ginny invited my mother and I in. And I did not get the photograph at the time, which was stupid. I absolutely should have, and so now I got to figure out when it was. So I'm, because I'd love to have that, because my mother was not with us at Saratoga when my father was, when Ausable Chasm won. My father was on hand, but I would. I'd love to have that. Anyway, the Suwannee River. Good to see Proctor in here. Proctor's had he's had a good year. He's won 16. He from only 93 starters, but Proctor's been a little quiet. That would be a great way to next week. That would be a great send off to the year for to get the great one. He's got Summering in here for Craig Burdick, of course. This is that Warfront mare. She actually is coming off a win in a handicap at Gulfstream, going back to September. Shug, who's Sure got a win yesterday at Gulfstream, I saw. He's got In a Hurry for Stu Janney, the homebred out of Scampering, the Blame, 4-year-old. Mike Stidham shows up from Fairgrounds with Alms. Nothing wrong with her. She's working her way back, third start off that injury that's prevented her. She missed a full calendar year from the Appalachian last year. So she's kind of gearing up. This is the Godolphin City Zip out of Charity Bell. It's a nice group. Brendan Walsh, Keeper of Time in here. Todd's got Sweet Melania. Last seen in an allowance behind Curly Ruth at Keeneland. Nice group. The Rampart, Main Track Mile. Just a group of six in here. Matt Williams has got his big filly, Dream Marie, in here. Ralph Nix, who's been on a roll over at Tampa with stake horses, he's got Dance Doro as well. They shoved a 10 claimer in between for some reason, the stakes. And then the Sugar Swirl, Frank's Rockette, kind of been sniffing around for a win. Last seen in the Dream Supreme. Center aisle for Paulo Lobo. Keen Watifa, which is one of the great active names in racing, to be honest. Arindel Homebred, the gemologist filly, is just great. Keen Watifa. Bronx Beauty for Anthony Margata, his big mare. The Harlan's Holiday came up a little modest. Maybe now here's another six horse stake, so maybe it does make more sense why they were late getting that card up. But it's a nice match field, actually. Mighty Hard for Josie Carroll, Blue Steel for Jeff Hiles, coming off the Claiming Crown win. 20 Twice for Jack Sisterson. And Calumet. Todd's got Fearless for Mike Rapoli, the Ghost Zapper gelding. South Bend shows up here for Sagamore, one of the last Sagamores. Eye of a Jedi, too, for Steve Badu. And the Fort Lauderdale as the turf route season. They'll keep stretching out to races like the McDarmida and the McKnight, etc. But the Fort Lauderdale, mile and an eighth, and this is a nice feature. A lot of good ones. Nice to see King Guillermo actually showing up and second off of a layoff. Juana Villa got him a tightener in October, end of October, and nice. Good to see his name. Chad will be obviously major prominent here with Analyze It. English B for Grand Motion and Calumet. Shug's got Breaking the Rules. The 6-year-old veteran has done well. Was third in this last year. Doswell in here for Barkley Tag and Joe Allen. Second in this last year. Here's a dangerous concept. Michael Maker with a horse that he claimed for himself off Amy DeLazzi and Kaleem Shah. Media Blitz, $100,000 claim out of Del Mar. Mm-hmm. Now comes back long on the grass. Yeah, this has got Mike Maker danger danger written all over it. I mentioned yesterday we were smiling about the Reeves team. Reeves Racing, Sol Volante and Patrick and Andy B. and Cone. Sol Volante in here as well. This is a good race. Really good race. Maker's also got Order and Law. This should be fun. And he's got a tone for the Wyckoffs. And Brendan Walsh drew outside Space Traveler. The Bated Breath, 5-year-old coming out of the the Keeneland Mile last seen. So very, you know, you got mixed bag. You got some maiden races as well. Getting to be, you know, it's winter racing at Hallandale. All right. So there you go. We'll talk to Mike Welsh tomorrow. We'll get going here. Take the break. Top of the hour upon us. Tony Black is coming, as well as the Clancys and Tom Law, Art Sherman, and Rich Eng as well. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions. In no